Christos Anesti. Almasia Kam. Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Welcome to all the visitors. We normally don't start this late, but the Ruthenians today had not only a baptism, but a memorial service, so it took them a little longer to get through the entire liturgy and plus the other two additional liturgies. So welcome. Thank you for your patience today on this Sunday of the Paraclitic. Each of the last two Sundays, St. Thomas Sunday and the Sunday of the Myrrh-Bearing Women, the Gospel lessons address the risen Lord the risen Lord to the apostles and to the various people, disciples. Today, the Gospel passage recounts an event during our blessed Lord and Savior's public ministry, the healing of the paralytic man, which is, of course, an event that happens before the resurrection. So what does this particular Gospel passage have to do with the season of Pascha? In fact, the Sunday of the paralytic and the next two Sundays, it's called the Samaritan woman and the Sunday of the man born blind, will also be taken us to these days before, this time before the resurrection. So why? Why? Well, the three Gospel passages, today and next Sunday and the following Sunday, have a special relationship to water and the mystery of baptism. Let's remember that the Pascha night is a time, it's probably the night of all nights when we bring people into the church. And so the church in the consecutive Sundays in the Pascha season helps the faith, those catechumens who recede into the church, to really reflect on the meaning of baptism. In the early church and throughout many of those first centuries of the church, the church didn't teach the people doctrine and dogma in the beginning. The beginning teachings were kerygma. It was basically an evangelization. It was a preparation for the holy mysteries. And then after the people received the holy mysteries of baptism, chrismation, and Holy Eucharist, then the church began to teach them what we would call doctrine or dogma. But the church didn't do that really beforehand because you didn't receive the grace of God yet to understand, to begin to grasp the mysteries. And so this has continued even till this day. So looking at this particular Gospel passage of the Sunday of the Paralytic, there are two themes that stand out to us. First of all, there is a resurrectional theme. And second of all, there's a theme of baptism and water. Now, when you read this Gospel passage carefully, the way St. John describes it, for all intents and purposes, that paralytic man is dead. He is unable to move. He's unable to walk. He's unable to work. He's not even able to bring himself to the pool for healing. And think about it. This man is in the midst of a multitude of other people who are lame, shriveled up. They're not living. So in a way, he's even among the dead. And then how does St. John describe the man himself? He's lying on a pallet. Basically a coffin. So this man is basically dead. And then what happens? The Word of Life himself, Jesus of Nazareth, encounters this man. And he speaks. Rise, take up your pallet, and walk. And in obedience to the divine commandment, the paralytic rises. But there's more than just him getting up. St. John is telling us this man now has been given a new life. He has new vitality. In fact, one could even say he's now really alive. In careful reading of the Gospel passage, John actually tells us the cause of the paralysis. Sin. Note the instruction our Lord said, quote, Behold, you are cured. Sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. End of quote. Sin no more. And in other words, that paralysis was in some way or some fashion connected to sin. And indeed, we can therefore say sin is the real paralysis of the human person. And what is sin? Sin is the loss of communion with God. So we can say literally, as the church fathers teach, St. Paul teaches it, if we lose communion with God, we are dead, because God is life. And to be cut off from communion with God is to be then the dead walking among the dead. One could say, because it's popular today, we are like zombies. And nothing human and nothing earthly can bring healing to this kind of paralysis. And that's signified by what John quotes when he quotes the paralyzed man. When the Lord asks him, do you want to be healed? The paralytic responds, quote, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. End of quote. No one to put me there. Man, the human person, cannot bring healing to sin. Science can't do it. Medicine can't do it. Counseling, therapy, human ingenuity, human philosophy, these may contribute to healthy human living. They may help to aid in healing of the mind, the body, the soul, and the spirit, but they do not bring the ultimate healing. You can go through all the therapy you want. You can use all the science and all the medicine you want. And at the end of the day, ultimately, it cannot bring the ultimate healing. All things human, all things earthly are limited. Only God, through the holy mysteries, can you and I receive the genuine healing for the human person. The real evil in the world, the real evil in the human heart, the source of all inner and outer conflict, discord, division, strife, violence, is not really human-oriented, not finds its origins in human activity. The real cause of all strife, discord, violence, is ultimately a sign of separation from God, not having communion with God. And that brings us to the second point of today's gospel passage, the holy mystery of baptism. Water is the sign inherently, note the word inherently, associated with the holy mystery of baptism. It's not accidental, and that's why the church has guarded for 2,000 years, you have to use water. You can't use grape juice, you can't use vodka, even in an emergency, you cannot use anything but water. So if you have to, you can use saliva, but it has to be water. Because water is inherently connected to the meaning of the holy mystery baptism. And in fact, now for the next two Sundays, the church is going to focus on this holy mystery of baptism and the significance of water itself. I mentioned it at the catechesis on Friday night. Eliade, he was actually the father of really comparative religions. He taught at the University of Chicago. And I read one of his books, Patterns of Religion. And he approached this not as a man of faith, but he approached it as a scientist. And he did all this study of all these ancient cultures, everything from Polynesia to Indonesia to India to all the different ancient cultures of Africa to the Latin American countries to the Middle East. And he found something common in all these primitive religions and all these primitive cultures about water. And for all of them, water signified four different things: life, death, regeneration, and purification. All four elements are found in baptism itself, and therefore water is the only element we use for it. Now today's gospel passage brings the baptized, you and me, where? To a certain location, the pool of Bethesda, a word meaning house of mercy. And that is significant. The word baptism comes from a Greek word, and those who are baptized were called photizomenoi, photo, light. We even have English words that pick up that photo. Photons, right? Photozimenoi. Literally, it means the illuminated ones. That's why you did not receive any instruction in the faith until you were illuminated by God. And where do we find ourselves? At a pool of water called mercy. And who's around this pool of water? All these other lame, paralyzed people. Who are the paralyzed? You and me and the entire human race. We are waiting for the waters to be stirred by an angel. Such is the image of the waters of baptism, which are stirred by the power of the Holy Spirit. While we cannot go to the waters on our own, that's what St. John said, we can't go there on our own. The good news is the Lord encounters you and me and brings us to the life-giving waters. Just as the Lord went to the paralyzed man, we can't go to them because we're dead. We can't move. God comes to us. That's the whole meaning of the incarnation. The Lord meets the sinner where he or she is, and that's the good news. And the Lord then asks the question, quote, do you want to be healed? The church asks us that question in this liturgy. The Lord asks, do you want to be healed? Every person knows one thing. This world is fallen. This world's messed up. This world is filled with numerous competing disordered loves. You have no need to look than the last 200, 300 years of philosophers and psychiatrists. Sigmund Freud, Marx, Hegel, Lenin, these famous men, Nietzsche, they've shaped and formed modern world. What do they know? They didn't use the word sin, but they recognize, man, there's a real problem. We're all in this competing race, and there's so much violence and tension and strife and conflict. That's what they recognize. They didn't come up with the right solution. They didn't call it sin, but they recognize what we've been recognizing for 2,000 years. It's called sin. It's Judeo's from the very beginning. This is the reality of life. Every human person, however, also desires to be set right. Every human being wants inner peace, and he or she wants outer peace. Every human being wants to love rightly. And yet that human heart, so tells the scripture, is beyond human comprehension. The human heart is beyond even what I can. I can't even know my own human heart. No one knows the human heart. No one grasps the human heart, but God alone, tells us the psalmist. And the Lord comes to each person, paralyzed by his or her own disordered loves, and he asks you and me, today he asks, do you want to be healed? How will you respond to the divine question? The paralytic, he tried to make an excuse. He blamed other people for his plight. And then he tried to rationalize his condition. The Lord will have none of it. This Wednesday is the feast of mid-Pentecost. And beginning today and all the way through Pentecost, we're going to hear a major theme: water and thirst. This Wednesday, if you pray the liturgy, you'll hear these words, quote, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For from him who believes in me shall flow rivers of living water. End of quote. Indeed, through the power of holy baptism and the continual participation in the holy mysteries of Eucharist and confession and anointing, you and I are able to experience the ongoing transformation of the power of the resurrection, the power that makes us divinized. He has raised us from our beds of sinfulness. He's given you and me new life. By stirring the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit then stirred you and me into life. We, therefore, are able to rise and walk, rejoicing with a new vitality. Why? Because now we are participants in the kingdom of heaven, and we sit at the divine banquet table. The one thing the Lord asks of you and me, he says, sin no more, lest something worse happen to you.